it's really weird to be doing this episode, to do an episode of Ask an Atheist, not on a Sunday, and not at 3 p.m. I don't know.
We're not too far off. We're at about 5 p.m.
Yeah, I feel like I'm breaking a rule, but... Welcome. This is Ask an Atheist 206-420-0997. That is our voicemail, and were you to call right now, you would get our voicemail. As this episode, this week, we are at the Atheist Alliance of America convention up in Seattle. Actually, at this point, I might be wrapping up and heading towards Camp Quest Northwest, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're at that point in the summer. My name is Sam. With me today is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm good. I'm excited for camp, excited for the convention.
Great. And joining us in the studio for the first time, but somebody who's been involved with the show for a long time, Rosalyn, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Recording
awesome.
On a Wednesday.
Recording on a Wednesday. Or is it a Thursday? I don't know.
Is it Tuesday?
I'm bad
Am
at
I driving?
Time. Yeah, it's not Sunday. That's really all I care about.
It's Friday in Japan right now.
So
now we're time traveling, and I'm going to get more confused than I already am. Good times.
Well, I figured we might start with something a little silly. Hey, I might be dead right now. Who knows?
Might all be dead right now.
Might all be hit by buses.
This turned dark so quick.
It did. Welcome to the show. The author of the book Awkward Moments, Not Found in Your Average Children's Bible, who goes by the name Horace Gilgamesh, received a death threat at their home this week. The letter, which addresses Gilgamesh by their legal name, quotes a passage in Deuteronomy ordering the death of idolaters before finishing, "I'll see you up in Seattle next week. You won't see me." Gilgamesh is expected to attend the Atheist Alliance of America conference this week. Police and the Atheist Alliance of America conference security have been notified of the threat. So this should all be over by the time...
It should all be resolved, let's say. Not over.
Over, fair
but
point.
Resolved.
Yeah. Resolved. Nothing's going to come of this.
I don't think so. I think that this is very unlikely to affect anyone in much of any way whatsoever.
Right.
Except for to maybe raise awareness by conference security and police that, hey, you know what? There's people that have, you know, creepy, biblically-based death threats against people that have the gall to show up in an academic conference.
I think it was a jerk move, but on the one hand, you could tell the person did it at an opportune time because they knew the conference was coming up and they went, hey, let's put everyone on edge.
Right. They knew the conference was coming up and they were very careful to ride the line to stay on the right side of a legal death threat, like of an actionable death threat.
It's like, what level of sleazebaggery do you have to think of where you sit up at night and go, well, I don't want to get arrested immediately, but I really want to scare people.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were looking for a reason why the atheism movement needs to exist, we're soaking in it right here. We get together just to talk among ourselves, to talk about our interface with society and things that we can do. And the best thing that a significant population thinks they can do about this is badmouth us. And then a small segment of that population decides that sending not death threats is a good idea.
And the crux of it is that they feel threatened by just people meeting together and talking, so they have to make this sort of move.
Right. It's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Horace at the convention. At the time of this recording, Horace was still not sure they were going to show up, but leaning towards it. So
okay. That's sad if they have, you know, if they have to stay away. I mean, I definitely understand it, but that is the environment that we live under. However, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the news lately. I try not to, but
I actively live in a hole. So
Ebola has gotten pretty bad.
It has.
Yeah, it's the biggest outbreak of Ebola in Africa. It's the biggest outbreak of Ebola
ever.
Full stop.
Yeah.
In Africa, right?
And in chunks of Africa where it's never been before as well.
Right, right. So anytime this happens, people come out of the woodwork. A statement by the Liberian Council of Churches referred to the Ebola outbreak in West Africa as a biblical plague and implored Liberians to seek God's forgiveness over immoral acts such as homosexualism. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf called on Tuesday for all residents to fast for 3 days and pray for forgiveness. Humanitarian workers, meanwhile, continue to battle superstitions, local cultural dogmas, and conspiratorial thinking as a major hurdle in halting the spread of the virus in this largest ever outbreak, which has already killed nearly 1,000 people.
So I just want to be very clear. The homosexualism is a direct quote from the church, the Council of Churches.
I would join that political party.
The homosexualism?
I was thinking it was like an artistic movement.
Oh!
The homosexualism movement of the mid-I
don't know. The homosexualism painters of the 1590s.
1590s. That's like 1591 to 1593. It's a very small era.
I suppose. But yeah, it's the idea to turn that they turn something biological into something political or something ideological.
There's also in those superstitions something that's really difficult is that so you have people that aren't used to seeing a lot of medical equipment and things like that. Someone falls ill, you have people coming in full spacesuits with spray bottles, and then most of their family members end up dead. People will try and make that link because our brains are conditioned to make those associations, those correlations.
Right.
People will say, hey, people in spacesuits that are spraying something, maybe there's something bad in that spray that's actually the cause of my family member's death. I mean, it's really a difficult thing to try and battle.
There's such an issue of control going on here as well. You have people with a limited understanding of how the illness works, or people that do have a fuller understanding of how it works with a huge political context going on in the area
coming in.
And the first thing that the people that are in power there, like the churches, the government, they're going to try and do things to rein people in.
Right.
So I could totally see the churches saying like, well, this is a way of punishing you. So we still have all the control that we used to have. They're finding a way to justify it to rein in the populace and probably.
Yeah. This reminds me of our interview with Bill Cook. A lot of things remind me of our interview with Bill Cook, but this is exactly the kind of thing that needs to be fought both with information and with dollars. I mean, really. I mean, this could get bad. And
it's already very bad.
Well, I mean,
we're in urban areas.
Okay, this could get more bad.
Okay.
Yeah, if I may.
But there also has been a historical precedent of there being limited outbreaks in places like Uganda and it being really well controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just people getting educated and knowing how to deal with cultural mores that need to be changed as well as, basic sort of containment practices and things like that.
Absolutely. I see the President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's statement sort of two ways. One, hey, fast for 3 days, pray for forgiveness, and stay indoors. That's a call to basically not be in high contact situations with lots of people.
That's true.
And that's a good thing.
I mean, it might be lying. She might be saying these things in the context of religion so that it gets accepted. This is one of those times when I think I might be okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. But the fact is, I don't know that you should be telling people to fast for 3 days when you already might be susceptible to catching an illness. I don't know if that's the best practice, but I don't know if the president is being informed by WHO health workers.
I think if you're going to shoehorn things like, staying indoors and fasting for 3 days, why not condone other practices? Like, unfortunately, one of the big practices is people feel they need to handle the body themselves.
Right.
And that's the time when the body is its most contaminated and the most infectious. So why not have another edict issued by the Council of Churches saying, hey, don't handle the body.
Right. Well, that doesn't really help their control over people, so there's no reason for them to do that. And I can hear people saying, oh, well, that's just what happens in Africa. Well, allow me to change your position on this one. Christian radio host Rick Wiles expressed enthusiasm this week on his True News broadcast regarding the possibility of a worldwide Ebola pandemic. Wiles mused that Ebola could solve America's problems with atheism, homosexuality, sexual promiscuity, pornography, and abortion, and warned that President Obama may intentionally spread the deadly virus through a mandatory and mysterious vaccine.
Mandatory, mysterious, oh my goodness.
Mandatory, mysterious, this
mandatory
is like...
Mandatory and mysterious.
Yeah.
Alliteration theater.
This is like, a role of everything crazy that we hear about these days. It's got GMO vaccine stuff. It's got God is going to kill the world. It's going to go, atheism is a disease.
It's got the mysterious shadow governments that are grouping people into FEMA camps. The other thing is that the way that this Rick Wiles has has characterized this is as a cleansing
as
plague.
A cleansing, yes.
A cleansing plague.
There's an interesting disconnect there, because I'm assuming Rick Wiles isn't a big fan of Obama.
I noticed that little thing there, is that he's expressing enthusiasm for, and oh boy, let's talk about that for a moment, but he's expressing enthusiasm for an Ebola epidemic that he thinks Obama may spread intentionally. Why would Obama spread this stuff intentionally if Obama is in favor of all that stuff that you hate, which is what people have been saying for years?
There's a huge issue there. I'm thinking that maybe, okay, I'm extrapolating a lot of information from what I've heard of the story so far.
Right.
But maybe he thinks that Obama is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist showing up may be a good thing for him, kind of a thing.
Oh.
Like, oh, that means that, you know, it's going to be all fixed soon, because it's a sign, sort of.
Well, early days, we did a video when we were back on TV of somebody trying to translate Obama's name into Hebrew or something, and it ended up being guy from space with lightning, or it was some really convoluted translation.
I know in Japanese his name means a town.
Just like a town?
Yeah, there's a town called Obama.
Oh, okay.
And when he won, the town in Japan was like, yay!
I do know that that this gentleman, that this Wiles, he is a preacher of end times. I mean, he thinks that the end times will be within our lifetime. And so when you have people that have that kind of fervor to say, hey, there's this really bad disaster, there's a possibility that if this disaster grows, it'll be a sign that, yay, it'll all be over soon and all be resolved soon. And of course, he uses this as a time to say, you know, the blood of Jesus is on you. You better get right with God.
Right, right. This is one of those situations where I feel a little strange because, you know, I know we have religious people listen to the show. And it's these moments where I feel like I want to talk to them and go, all right, why do you want to be connected with this? You know, I normally don't make arguments like that. I don't, because I realize that every social movement has its crazy people, and this is just another example of that.
Of which atheism totally is not.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
I would say that most Christian people would heartily repudiate this guy, just to say, and by still associating as someone who's Christian, I don't think that you're endorsing
this
guy.
At some point, though, you got to step back and you got to say, wait a minute. Why are we allowing this? Why are we not speaking out about this more? This guy is expressing enthusiasm for the death of millions. And not just the death of millions. The death of billions. And not just the death of billions. He's looking forward to your eternal torture. Not just mine, not just ours, not just atheists, mm-hmm. but the eternal torture of essentially 90% of the world's populace, because you know this guy thinks that there's a very small population of actual Christians and that most Christians are going to burn. They always fall into this trap because it's a way to create, you know, inward thinking, and it's straight up regular cult behavior, which mm-hmm. is what this guy is.
And the catch there is I could see how some people would go, like, if the average Christian that I would meet on the street would probably say something like, oh, don't pay attention to that guy, he's just nutty.
Right.
But there's a threshold.
There's a threshold.
There's just, oh, don't listen to that guy, he's nutty. And yeah, he's advocating for genocide here.
Yeah. The other thing is, this is not an isolated incident. This has happened, like, I'm preparing a talk for for the convention this weekend. Stuff like this has been going on. As Mike likes to say, it's been the end times since the beginning times, and there's always been guys like this. And it just, the fact that this goes on and continues to go on, I don't know, it bothers me sometimes. I mean, like I said, there's a threshold, and this may be on the other side of it for me. This might be the point where I have to go to religious people. What is the deal here? Why is not more being done about this?
I'm also questioning how he thinks that Ebola is going to solve atheism and solve homosexuality and solve promiscuity and solve porn and solve abortion, because apparently he doesn't understand how viral transmission works. I mean, if Ebola becomes a worldwide pandemic, I don't think that it's that you being an atheist will make you more susceptible to catching Ebola.
Yeah.
Maybe Ebola is like a superhero for him. Like, pandemic means, you know, the ability to fly.
I think you may have just created Ebola fan art.
Oh, dear. That's the saddest fan art ever. It's like the shadow puppet superhero that doesn't realize he's actually doing the bidding of the supervillain. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And he'd have like really stilted dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'd constantly like sweat or something.
He'd hang out with Bible Man. You know it.
Oh. Okay, not thinking about that one anymore. But as a welcome, we have an email. This is Tyler from Top, Middle, and Bottom Earth. Hello there. I was just fondling my box set of Game of Thrones while laughing at some Ricky Gervais stand-up comedy, if you can call it that, on my iPad. Note, I don't watch the idiot box as it is beneath me. Instead, I watch TV on a small tablet device instead. It's cultured. While unconsciously musing upon Dawkins' exquisitive line of argument in the right side of my brain, only to be stuck with the sudden realization that atheism is baloney. God bless you, X.
Oh, Tyler. Oh, thank you, Tyler, so much for your kind words.
I could hear the top hat and the monocle. I didn't know they made noise like that.
I don't know whether your iPad is cultured, like it has been grown in a vat.
Yeah. Or the whether iPad it is, that went to Oxford.
It's
I don't know.
Probiotic iPad.
Yeah. Man. I'm curious about your exquisitive line. Is that inquisitive? But the opposite of inquisitive, or is it just more than exquisite? I don't know what this exquisitive line of argumentation that he claims Dawkins has.
Yeah.
Your right side of your brain, I'm glad that you use at least half of it, Tyler. Thank you.
No, we only use 10% of our brains.
Oh, no. get out. what do you say to something like this? I mean, there's no argument here. I just thought it was funny.
I say lol.
Lol.
Yeah.
So this brings me to something that we should probably talk about for a few minutes. Rosalind, you have recently started up a Ask an Atheist Tumblr.
Yeah, it's funny that you piggyback that right on the email, because there's just a hint of trolling going on there.
Yeah.
And I live among a citadel, if you will, of trolls. And it's either a citadel of trolls or a citadel of people who are easily offended by things, and that's okay. Tumblr or the rest of the internet.
Right.
It's brand spanking new. There is quite an atheist community on Tumblr, believe it or not, and it's something that, you know, I thought it would be cool for Ask an Atheist to have representation in.
I like what you're doing with it, but I have to admit that to me, Tumblr is a bit of a dark art. Now, you working on it has made it a little bit more
transparent. Are you accusing me of being a wizard?
Yes, okay. You are a wizard.
Yeah. It's very visual, and it's usually just fun science-y stuff and
right.
atheism-y things, and sometimes there are giant memes that we all laugh at, and it's kind of the lighter. I like to hope that someday it will be the lighter side of Ask an Atheist, where we can just kind of giggle and snort at things. And
yeah, we tried doing that on the Facebook thing, but that never worked out.
Nothing on Facebook is ever giggly or snorty. It's all completely serious.
No, I might end up doing weird things to a steak or something like that. I don't know. It gets strange.
But yeah, the Tumblr username, if you want me to share it,
yes, please,
is askanatheist-wa.tumblr.com.
Fantastic. And as a result, where I'm also starting to use Twitter a bit more. I don't know if that's become clear.
The young whippersnappers love Twitter.
I thought that, like, I stayed away from Twitter for a while because I thought there was nothing I could really say in 160 characters, and it really didn't help with discourse.
Mm-hmm.
But then after being on Facebook for a few years, I think I began to see the point of limiting it to 160 characters.
That's interesting that it's a series of steps.
Like, yeah.
You can learn to hone down your Facebook arguments into a certain limit, and you're like, okay, I'm ready for Twitter. It's going to happen.
Well, Becky can tell you, I've always been a big fan of the punchline comment, the really short, punchy comment.
Yep. Whereas I might use 16,000 words to say one point, Sam can somehow distill it down to three.
Well, I wasn't fishing for compliments. I was going to say,
oh no, you being Hemingway is not really a compliment.
Thank you.
In reaction to my being Dickens or anything like that. So, you know, stay humble, Sam.
Your ability to use semaphore is amazing. Just brandish flags and it'll be punchy.
Wow. Is there a semaphore Twitter?
There is now.
There maybe ought to be.
Yeah.
This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to handle some more news, handle some more emails, and, I don't know, discuss the nature of language as it deals with religion, perhaps.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Along the Yelm Highway lies Ramtha's house. Jay-Z Knight lives there. It's in between Lacey and the back part of Fort Lewis. If you want to go to Yelm, go down Cleveland Avenue until you catch the Yelm Highway. And eventually you'll see J.C. Knight's house because it's surrounded by trees. That's what the rumor has it, that J.C. Knight is Ramtha. And Ramtha wants to do the hustle. And Ramtha wants to rock. Rock and rescue the hustle.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And I played this song for Roslyn before we went into the show, and she absolutely fell in love with it.
It harkens back to my childhood.
Well, this was a Mac Dog from a 1999 album that R.R. Anderson, comic artist for Justice here in Tacoma, sent to me during the whole thing that we had last week with the Pierce County Council, and it sort of became the, shall we say, the internal theme song for that day.
It's weird because I'm from here, born and raised for a frillion years, and like, it's you. We don't have so much like weird folkloric tales about bad guys,
right?
Like ghosts and, you know, the local demon that lives in your mailbox or whatever everybody else has. We have stuff like Jay-Z Knight,
yeah,
and it's great to have it memorialized in a in such a piece of outstanding art.
I love how much from here the song is.
It
I have
is.
To admit. But, but, it, well, you know, when we were going through the editing and stuff for this, it's like every speech that was at the council meeting, somebody would come up. I have to admit, it was mostly for the Christian guys, because that's how I think. And people would come up there and they'd start talking, and I would hear, and then I would try and time it in my head so that they got to their point right when the rapping part started.
So wait, were you hearing Do the Hustle in your head while these people were talking?
Almost, Sam always hears
almost,
Do the Hustle.
It's either that or the theme from McHale's Navy if I'm stealing a joke from my dad.
I hear elevator music in my head all the time.
So, I just love how joyous this this entertainer, this gentleman,
yeah,
is struck when he reaches that apex of Ramtha.
It's not like it's not derision; it's legitimate enthusiasm.
Yeah,
which I think is great.
And Ramtha being the local religious fervent weird
Ramtha. Okay, Jay-Z Knight. I suppose we could do a little bit of background.
Oh, go right ahead.
Jay-Z
yeah.
Knight is the individual who is a purported channeler of a 10,000-year-old old warrior by the name of Ramtha.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entirely familiar with all of the different prophecies and things she's talked about, but one of them is that demons or lizard people, I'm confusing the reptilians, demons live on the dark side of the moon,
right,
and they're going to eventually take over, kind of a
right
thing. Now that I think about it, I wonder if she does conspiratorial stuff with like the Bilderberg group, who I want to call the Build-A-Bear group.
I always make that one. Well, there's a whole album. I found it on archive.org after RR sent it to me, so I'll include that in the show notes. But the reason we're talking about this isn't necessarily because of Tacoma, but this week it's somewhere else. After the Mobile, Alabama County Commission voted 2-1 to allow a privately funded In God We Trust display to be featured in Government Plaza, non-Christians proposed additional privately funded displays. The Mobile atheist community proposed adding In Reason We Trust, Universalists advocated for a coexist sign, and pagans lobbied for an In Goddesses We Trust. After 2 hours of public comment, Commission President Connie Hudson concluded that the commission will not deal with requests for plaques until the federal legislature adopts additional mottos. The dissenting council commissioner stated that her opposition does not reflect a lack of faith.
Oh, Sam, as you said, when we had heard in Pierce County, even the people that said, hey, we don't think that In God We Trust is inclusive. The council members here
right
said, we don't think it's inclusive, but I am a person of faith. It really struck us both how sad it is that someone who is going to advocate for not being exclusionary at the government level has to say, "Hey, but I'm not an atheist." we heard the exact same thing in this Mobile County Commission.
I've heard that a few times, and I watched in its 1 billion minute glory, the
I am so sorry
15 hour long yeah county council meeting, which is sad because I'm kind of dorky for local politics, but that was just like, get the popcorn, put your slippers on.
I love the 11 billion amendments.
Oh yeah. Good, yeah, and they were like, this one is on mauve, like, the different colors.
Now we're to marigold. Amendment on peach.
The sad thing was, whenever it was a legitimate sense of curiosity in my head, whenever I saw that I am a person of faith, but I feel like this is not inclusive argument that
right
they would always preface with. I can't tell if they're doing that to make their argument stronger or if they feel they need to protect themselves.
I think it might be a little of column A and a lot of column B.
Okay.
I mean, being an atheist in this country is still political death in
yeah
a lot of ways. And Pierce County does have a lot of rural areas, which tend to be, you know, a lot more conservative and a lot more religious. So that could be a problem.
I will note that one of the people testifying, at least in Pierce County, she had given comment like 3 or 4 different times, and it was finally the last time when she said, I didn't want to bring this up because I think it should be irrelevant, but I am a person of faith. So at least for the citizens and the residents that were testifying,
right,
you know, it might be, like you said, a little of column A, a little of column B, but I think that it would not be politically expedient at all for an elected official to not reaffirm their faith. I mean, if you don't, if everybody knows that President Obama believes in God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he might be a secret Muslim.
They believe in God.
That's actually secret Muslim.
All right, secret moose.
You got to say it with panic in your...
Is that like secret squirrel?
Secret moose? Secret squirrel?
The president is not a secret squirrel nor moose.
The not the secret squirrel. The president is a human. Well, let's just establish that now.
But here's the thing. If Obama gives any remark and then doesn't conclude it with something like God bless America, people are like, is he an atheist? And it's politically inexpedient for elected officials not to reaffirm their faith.
And I,
especially in a primary season right now.
Yeah. I like to think that it was kind of a local issue, because as much as I like to pretend that Washington State is a really progressive place, it's a very distinct rural, wow. I'm saying secret Muslims and secret squirrels and then rural.
So perhaps rural and urban.
Yeah, go with that one.
Okay.
And I thought that because of that, this might have passed
yeah
the resolution in Washington. And I don't know what the political makeup is of Alabama. I'd assume it's extremely red with slight pockets of blue.
Yeah.
So I don't know, in terms of that dynamic, what, you know, I assume that for conservative people, you have to kind of preface your statements with In God We Trust with everything.
And right, right.
I don't know.
Well, the thing that really struck me here is this is a 3-person commission, and they allow, you know, 2.5 hours of public comment, and then at the end of it, to be so incredibly dismissive and said, if you got a problem with this, take it to your federal legislature. But until then, Until then,
yeah,
we're going to be jerks.
We're going to ignore it.
So maybe a little good news to offset this. Siouxland Freethinkers President Amanda Novotny gave the pre-meeting invocation at the Sioux Falls, South Dakota City Council meeting this week. The first atheist to address the council in this manner, she asked that the council let all voices be heard and understood equally. Quoting a character from the popular Harry Potter series, Novotny implored the council to set aside differences of habit and language and concentrate on shared aims and open hearts.
Now, we met Amanda when we were...
She was on last year, actually, yep. About this time last year.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think this is cool. Yeah.
I think it's really cool. Siouxland Freethinkers is, you know, it's up there in South Dakota and a little bit of northern Iowa. And she's the president. And you say, hey, now that the Grease versus Holloway Supreme Court ruling has said, yes, prayers are legal at government functions, but hey, you have to be open to everyone. She said, I'm going to jump at that. This was the first opening. In most of the media coverage, it's being really widely praised. There's not really any argumentation saying, yeah, hey, that was denigrating, or you're not a real human being, or you're not a patriot, all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
I have to admit, I have a bit of a minor quibble on this one.
Uh-oh.
And I just wonder at reading from Harry Potter, because reading from fiction that might create the connection that, you know, hey, I'm going to read from fiction too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there might be some Christians who might point and go, Satan!
Yeah, the first argument I'd have against that is, as things you could choose to read from go, I think Harry Potter was actually kind of a sweet one. Because
yeah,
it's in a weird, I mean, we're going back to that weird chunk of people that burn Harry Potter books, but
right,
for most people, Harry Potter is considered something that brings people together, and it's kind of fun, and I think it's a light...
That's a good point.
I don't think... She's not reading from, like, the Satanic Verses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you there. That's
a
good point.
Nor is she reading from the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, which is explicitly a mockery text.
Yes, yeah.
So, but I can see that. Maybe reading some oratory from Ingersoll, or, you know, hearkening back
as
Whitman.
As boring as it might seem. I mean, honestly, I think reading from Harry Potter was probably a social win rather than anything else, because you make a really good point. The movies were incredibly popular. They're fiction that kids love, and if handled right, which I'm certain Amanda would, she's actually very good at that sort of thing. I think it could make a really strong impact. But, you know, me and my weird position.
And the thing is there, I think there's tons of secular things you could choose that
sure
would be extraordinarily beautiful, but I think that was a particularly poignant choice because of its accessibility. Like, you could be reading Bertrand Russell or whatever, but...
Oh, yeah.
Well, and full disclosure, she wasn't quoting Voldemort or Snape or anything. She was quoting Albus Dumbledore, one of the, you know, wise...
The paragon, you know, if
yes
you will.
I yeah don't know who that is.
He's my dad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, with that...
I guess we'll just go with that then. and go into our next news story, which is amazing. The head of a private ESL school in Provo, Utah, has fired teacher Tim Torkelson after the instructor wrote a blog entry about homophones, or similar-sounding words that have different meanings. Language school owner Clark Woodger feared that the school might be associated with homosexuality, citing his potential client's limited English skills. Woodger claimed that the piece, written on the school's blog, was the last straw in a string of actions that proved Torkelson could not be trusted.
Oh, dear. Oh, sir.
So,
oh, Mr. Woodger.
We have two people here with a background in linguistics, if I'm not telling tales out of school, or at least, with some language education experience.
Right. Both Rosalind and I have experience being ESL teachers.
Yeah. I would assume homophones are kind of important.
Extraordinarily?
Yes. Yes. Even to people who are learning English as their first language or using English as their primary or first language, homophones are the difference between
between R and
So it would be completely appropriate, as far as I could tell, on a language school blog to discuss something of linguistic importance and language knowledge.
And just getting students used to the idea that some chunks of language may be relevant, even if they hearken, like, even if I find it extremely remote that any of the students in my recent memory would think of the phrase or the prefix homo and instantly assume it deals with homosexuality.
Yeah,
because the first thing that you start learning is your roots and going, oh, okay, it means same,
right?
And yeah, the fact that anyone would make this leap.
This is clearly somebody who's not very... this guy, Woodger, clearly doesn't understand language learning particularly well.
Which is particularly disconcerting because he's the head of the school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, where are your priorities at, dude?
If I were to guess, yeah. I'm thinking that because... you know, the prefix homo, it has been used as negative slang in the United States. That's his thought process. But yeah, he's a foreign language school, teaching school, and he's thinking entirely in a local context. Got to admit, I saw Provo, Utah, and was like, oh.
When I saw that, the first thing that snapped into my head is I've taught ESL students in different countries, and I've taught in the States as well. And I had to put myself in the place of what would it be like to be foreign and coming to the States and your first experience of Americana is Provo.
like it might be the set of Pleasantville.
Yeah. There's it's all black and white. It looks vaguely like a commercial for Nesquik from 1951.
Yeah.
And we can't possibly mention any word that might remind people that gay people might exist.
Right. Yeah. What really makes this so strange is that this is that teaching language at a language teaching school is the last straw that proves that a language teacher can't be trusted.
Just out of curiosity, when you're teaching something that might have sort of a double entendre.
Yes.
I know that this is, I don't want to talk too much shop, but what do you do if you're worried that something might have two different sort of interpretations?
I preface things with, and now I teach high schoolers, and I preface things all the time. We deal with homogeneous solutions, or heterogeneous solutions in science class when we're doing science prefixes. You know, we say, and I get down to the root of, you know, you're used to hearing this word. It's a prefix. Yeah, it has specific meaning in the word homosexual as well. Mm-hmm. It means same, meaning, you know, you are sexually attracted to the same.
Yeah.
I don't shy away from any of those things. I explain things from a linguistic, from a historical, from a clinical perspective, all of those things.
That's generally how, well, the big difference is, and the reason why I asked you is you teach people under the age of 18.
Yes.
And I teach adults. So there was, I generally do the same thing, but I was curious as to whether or not contextually you'd do it any differently.
So you basically do the same thing you just described?
I just say, yeah, this is where the word comes from, and I'm pretty forthright about it. I've never had anyone be really taken aback.
Yeah. I was trying to find something funny to do with this, perhaps with words that sound the same, but
it's terribly ironic that he says homophones and he can't even, the thing is that homophone and homosexuality is not even a homophone in and of itself, but it does sound similar. It's
all right, there's the funny. Okay.
Fair enough. One thing that occurred to me is oftentimes in the United States, private ESL schools capitalize very much on sort of pockets of sort of they sort of target one particular country to have students come for 12-week periods of time.
Right.
It's very popular for Koreans to learn prestigious English in the United States. That's sort of the English variety of prestige.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of evangelical Christianity associated with some of our Korean students that come to learn English here. And then possibly also really strict adherence to religious principles in Provo, Utah. I can't imagine why. And I don't know whether he was just trying to, you know, keep not citing his potential clients' limited English skills, but say, I don't want them to think that, like, we might have anything to do with gayness.
Right. That aside, I was looking through this, and there was a mention of the last straw in a string of actions.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about context there. Is there... Do we know anything else beyond it?
Okay. Of course not, because there is no string of actions.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, the previous blog entries had to do with suffices.
Suffices?
And that might
suggest that women can vote, because suffrage.
One even mentioned a diphthong.
Okay. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to deal with some very interesting feedback.
Looking Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it will explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. That is our voicemail line. We are pre-recorded this week, but we do like your voicemail. Voicemail is fun. I'm not kidding. Voicemail is fun.
Voicemail is fun.
Oh, yeah. We got a good one, which we'd like to play for you now. Introduces himself. I think it's important to note that I had to trim the silence out of this one, which cut it to about a third of its original runtime.
I learned of the magic button.
Yes, she did. Here we go.
Well, the first thing I want to say is, think about it. There's this whole universe, planets and everything. Can you guys say it's either created from a Big Bang or whatever your scientific answer is to that? But putting God into the equation is so much more easier and more delightful. And if you were to, if say there was a God and there is a heaven, and if you were to die and go to heaven, you know, eternal happiness, why not take a chance just in case there is a hell? Because, I mean, you're only on Earth for about 80 years, so after those 80 years, you're, according to you, you're just dust. Well, why don't you take the chance just in case there is a hell? And also, you'll have something to look forward to, because what you have to look forward to is either a cruise or death. Just, you know, maybe you should try praying sometime. God bless you. My name is Daniel, and I am from Katy, Texas, and I am a Roman Catholic. God bless you, and God bless your family, and I'll keep praying for you.
I'm so glad that he's going to be praying for us.
I didn't catch the end, but was that Pascal's Wager I heard?
I think it was Pascal's Wager.
Oh, my God.
Wager. Just take the chance,
Pascal's
Sam.
Wager,
there we go. Okay, so while we're answering that argument, I had to do a lot of editing on this one because it was literally like 5-10 seconds between the times he would say something.
And probably like 20.
20? Really?
There were like the first bit of the beginning, because I heard this before it was all edited, and there was this...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some. I'm thinking he might be mentally compromised by substances while he's calling.
Yeah.
I think that might have something to do with it.
Texas is a slower lifestyle.
That's true as well.
So I'm really confused about the cruise. When we die, we can either go to heaven or have a cruise.
And we speculated on this. Why couldn't it be like a road trip? Like a road trip or
train ride? Amtrak?
Oh. Are you suggesting that God is Jack Kerouac?
Or a travel agent? Yeah.
Jack Kerouac as a travel agent. I think you've just invented my next alternative history novel.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Yes, it could be so much easier and lovelier to incorporate God and attribute God to the universe. There's a lot of things that are easier and lovelier, but it doesn't inherently make them real just because it's easier to think about it like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to model the planets really close together when we're teaching a third grader, but it doesn't mean that all the planets are really close together.
Yeah, it's not accurate.
I'll be honest with you. I would not find incorporating God into anything delightful if it's the kind of God that would clear the Earth with Ebola.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with that.
This guy sounds like he's saying things to himself.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
Feel better.
Yeah, I had to edit some stuff out. He's a young guy.
Yeah, I like the, well, according to you, when you die, then you become dust. And I was like, no, I think that's according to you,
yeah,
sir. I think it's your book that says, you know, to dust we begin, and or from dust we come, and to dust we shall return. I think that's kind of a religious thing that we all become dust.
There's a moldy bit in the middle. And
yeah, well, if you're Hunter S. Thompson, you're shot out of a cannon. Some people are grown into trees. You know, when you're not concerned with ideology and dogma, there are hundreds of options for your corpse. I suggested that somebody turn me into a puppet who would spout religious things, but
I'm going with Crash Test Dummy.
Crash Test? Right.
I think that would be kind of fun.
Fair enough. So, in the spirit of this, we do have a very quick email. This is Sean from Puyallup, who writes, "Wonder if you ever engage with Christians on your show. I would be interested in coming and representing the Christian worldview. Is that something you are open-minded about?" I like your inclusion of open-minded there. It sort of shows your hand, and I will take a moment to explain this. No, we don't let Christians on our show. If Christians want to have their opinions put forth, you can go to most of the other radio shows on many of the stations we appear on. Mm-hmm. You can go to the satellite networks in which that are entirely Christian programming, TBN. You can go on the 700 Club. You can go on the church circuit. If you want to discuss your worldview, you have an entire media, you have several media empires that you can approach to have your worldview broadcast. I have 1 hour a week to make my points. And that's why we only have the Christian worldview show up on our show when it's direct interaction with us. When it's emails, when it's voicemails, you're welcome to do that. You're clearly doing that here. But no, if you want to be on the show as a host to rebut us, no, this that is not what the show is about.
And, you know, Sean, when you say, is this something we're open-minded about, by Sam declaring that, hey, we're, you know, it's not a debate show. We're here to say you can ask atheist things, but, you know, we're here to give some voice to non-believers. And by saying that, you're implying that we're not open-minded.
Well, him saying open-minded, it's a magical spell.
Yeah.
If I say open-minded here, that means if he says no to me, that means he's closed-minded, and I'm supposed to go, no, won't be closed-minded. Oh, what a world. Nah, sorry, not buying it. Your opinion is well-known, well-stated, and pretty much well-understood by every atheist in the United States. And the other side of that is, you guys don't know us, so thank you for listening. But if you want to get what you need out of this show, pay attention to what we're saying and learn from it, and interact with us in emails and in voicemails and in phone calls.
And it sounded like, in terms of your grand scheme of things, you actually have a forum for that in the works, don't you?
I do.
You have a podcast going that's supposed to be more of a debate structure?
Yeah, I do occasionally like debate, but
this isn't the forum for it.
Right, you know, we had to move to Mulvey International Studios a lot sooner than I anticipated.
I always hear a kazoo in my head when you say that.
Oh, we should do that. We should totally do that. Mike named it. I'm okay with it. The other side of this, and there's a reason why I'm pairing it with this, and it should become clear. Alan from Milton writes, "I just discovered Ask an Atheist, and I have found the show to be quite informative and entertaining. I'm looking for some advice and suggestions for my particular situation. I'm 45 years old, and I grew up attending a local megachurch, and as an adult, I have attended at two others. My wife works for a private Christian school, and all of my children attend there. So my entire life is in a Christian bubble, which includes my family and friends. Just recently, though a lot of research and study, I intellectually can no longer follow the Christian faith. The problem now is that the pressure to remain in my bubble is absolutely overwhelming. If I come out to my family and friends, I may lose everything. I have no idea what to do since I am literally all alone in the Christian bubble. Frankly, I am scared to death. Any suggestions for me? Surely I'm not the only person that has been in this situation."
No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not, but it doesn't make it any easier. You're in a really sort of closed, intense community. You're absolutely right. You have all of your connections, all of your support there. I would say, come to, atheist or humanist meetups. Come to meetups where you can engage with, there's interfaith meetups, there's philosophy meetups, there's events, things like that. But at the same time, you still, risk, well, where are you going? So do you drive far away? Do you
right.
go, 2 hours north for the same kind of thing? It's tough.
And I can definitely tell you, if you go to those sorts of meetups, you will find people who have similar experiences to what you have had. And building a sense of support that can replace that, I think, is key.
I think one of the really important organizations and movements out there is Recovering from Religion. And there's groups around the country, and many of them are private. Many of them meet in private homes for support groups, and it's people that may be questioning, may be recovering from a different religious experience and are now moderately religious but still believers. Most people that enter Recovering from Religion are atheists or non-believers, but that can be a powerful resource as well. And there's also online forums for the same kind of thing.
But this guy is local, and there are a lot of people at the local atheist meetups who have a similar background. We've just had some friends who recently just had to basically change their life around. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that sort of thing doesn't happen. People do lose sometimes, and that's I think a big reason why we need an atheist community. We need someone to be there to catch you when you fall.
Absolutely.
But a lot of the time, you'll be surprised at the kind of response you get. Now you seem to be deep in it. I wish I had something a little bit more cogent to say. I mean, start small. Don't make any big steps. Hey, you managed to find time to listen to us, so that's good. See if it is possible to come out and meet people just to de-stress a little bit and realign, and then get back in it. And you know your situation best. You know it much better than we do. But if you can seek moral support, that is probably what you most need right now.
And know that moral support is there.
Yeah.
Just reaching out is the thing.
Yeah. And sometimes, when we get these emails from other parts of the world, I can't say specifically that those people are there or I have to do some research, but this isn't my backyard. I know we're here. I mean, I had 100 signatures on that open letter last week and in every part of Pierce County. We are here. Washington State, one person out of four doesn't have an official religion. This is... You're in a good position for this, I think. Like I said, I wish I had something a little bit more constructive to say, which is why I'm opening it up here, is I know some of our listeners are in situations like this, and this would be a great time to provide us with some advice coming from where you came from. And I think I would really like to be able to offer that to people. So this isn't the last time we're going to be talking about this, I think. But... It really does need to be talked about more. And this is another reason why we don't have Christians on. It's like, look, we need the room. We need a little bit of room. Let us have our hour a day. If you want to debate, if you want to debate me, Sean, or anybody on the show, that can be arranged, and I can make sure it gets distributed. Just not in this hour. That's all I ask.
Absolutely. I think that we'll be sure to hear from our listeners, and then I really hope to hear, Alan, if you're still listening, where you are now. I think that we actually did receive this email a little while ago, and you may be in a different place. There may be further developments.
Right.
Keep people updated. What's going on?
Another catch is that the atheism community, everybody has a different story.
Yeah.
Whether or not it may be someone that came from a similar situation to Alan, or people... I think there's kind of an assumption that people have just been completely non-religious their entire lives, and it goes with the whole stereotype of, atheists can't see beauty in anything.
Right.
We have myriad backstories that make up our community. That's why it's the community it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, seek it out and they will come.
Going on a high note?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Let's do something happy.
Sheriffs in Northern Nevada arrested self-proclaimed psychic Helen Welch after an undercover investigation revealed she tried to dupe unsuspecting customers. Welch was booked on suspicion of a single felony count of attempting to obtain money under false pretenses. The arrest came just a week prior to the kickoff of National Psychic Week, which started in 1965 after a Broadway producer decided he wanted to help promote his psychic friends.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this story.
Oh, I heard this, and the first thing I thought of was, Psychics the Musical. Which I totally want to see now.
Please, somebody script psychic symbiosis. I'm sure Tim Minchin could come up with that. Someone could, like, could crowdfund that.
What are yeah. the Gibson girls, like the vaudevillian girls from the 1890s, but with like glass pyramids on their heads? Like,
I love the title of this one. That was, what was it? Nevada psychic arrested for fraud?
No, which, no, you got one of the words wrong.
Yeah,
there,
Nevada psychic arrested for being for psychic.
Yes.
For psychic. Psychic trickulating.
I think you mean Nevada fraud arrested for fraud.
Yeah. That works much better. Oh, man. National Psychic Week. What? So is this week National Psychic Week?
It's been celebrated, I guess, in some communities.
Yeah.
Mostly in newspapers and marketing schemes, I from what I can gather.
Yeah.
The first week in August, ever since 1965.
Hold on. I'm getting a week. I think it... Wait. The month starts with an R.
Is this where we bring out the Karnak bit from Johnny Carson? Is
that you are like the big feathered gossamer.
Arrested for fraud. What is National Psychic Week? Wow, I conflated Karnak and Jeopardy there. See what I did?
Yep.
And then you have to go, well, is that your final answer? Well, no, wait. And then you'll have three things.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think we got to do something with National Psychic Week next year now that we know it exists.
Yeah.
I think.
National Homeopathy Week
yeah.
or International Homeopathy Week, National Psychic
Can
Week.
Can we have like an International Woo Month and do like an advent calendar and like today's pseudosciences?
Well, I know we could do that. I think that is definitely something we could do.
I'm keen on that, yes.
But cool. I'm certain that it's been done elsewhere. National Psychic Week. And it started by a Broadway producer. So that's perfect.
Well, he wanted to help promote his friends, I guess, because he wanted to market his friends.
He surrounds himself by psychics to up his ticket sales?
And... I don't know.
Oh, wow. More fraud. They're going, ooh, go to my psychic thing.
The Lion King is crap. Don't see it.
Looking forward to it. But unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Olvey. With me today was Becky Friedman and Rosalind Townsend. Thank you guys very much. I had a lot of fun.
I did too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Writing is by Dave Brulette and Becky Friedman. Produced by me. Last time I checked, I'm still Sam Olvey. You can go to our voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. I'd like to thank Frank from LA for meeting Peggy's challenge. See you guys next week.